Welcome to News Tribune on Tap. I'm Gary Caster, managing editor at the Jefferson City News Tribune and host of News Tribune on Tap, a weekly conversation about news and issues in Jefferson City that matter to you. Today's special guest is Representative Rudy Veit. Hello, Rudy.
Glad to be here. It's a good day out. Nice little rain. We needed it, and that makes it working in the office a whole lot easier.
Well, there you go. So you are back at the office, even though the session's out.
Well, the office is my legal office.
Okay. All right.
My LA is. I have been in contact with her this morning. There are a lot of things still going on up there, too, and she's working today. So.
Well, I think that's an interesting aspect. I mean, many of the legislators have gone home, but obviously this is your home. So how much of the time do you spend out of session at the Capitol?
Well, there will be more this year because there's some meetings I'm on, reviewing what records to destroy, not destroy. There's another committee looking at criminal code, how crimes fit, where they fit in the criminal code, trying to update it. We had a very elaborate criminal code update in 2014 and how crimes are supposed to be charged. Well, that worked for about a year or two, so now we're trying to go back and get the crimes in the right area of the code and look at ways that we can, in the future, at least have some input earlier on as to what level of crime should be charged for certain conduct. Anytime someone's rights are violated, they think it ought to be Class A felony or something, and that just doesn't fit into the scope of things.
Sure.
We need to make sure that the penalty is consistent with the crime, and that's an ongoing job which requires just some, not necessarily people that are directly involved with it. You want to have a say, but you and I both know if your house is broke into, the next time you'd want a burglar to be charged with Class B felony or Class A felony and not some Class D felony or so.
Mm-hmm.
You have to put a little bit of the rationale and more general approach into how they fit into the category. So that's only going to take some time this summer, too.
All right. Well, last week, the legislative session ended. So let's kind of take a look back at it. How would you characterize the last session?
Well, there are some good things in last session. I mean, there are certainly state pay. That was an important thing because it not only was the state pay, which basically breaks them even with inflation, but it did do a recognition of the value of state employees and their role they need for us to stay in existence and to do the state's work. Our state is a very large enterprise and needs some quality workers. And so that just is a reminder we have to continue this battle. I did promise to meet with Moses again this summer and try to figure out if there's a way we can get back to the 80 or 85 and out. That's a good idea. They all agree, and I've talked to people who say that's what 80 and out is what keeps them here. But it's going to take a lot of work with trying to figure out inflation and new pay raise and get your actuarially sound annuity fund up.
So explain to folks what 80 and out is. I may not understand that.
80 and out means your combination of your years worked at the state and your age equal 80. And then there's a retirement. You can retire at whatever the fund is, your retirement benefits are. It now is 90 and out means your age and years of service must equal 90. And that's a big deal for a lot of people.
Sure.
And especially those who, if they already got 5 or 10 years in, they can see a light at the end of the tunnel. They may stay. I just talked to one lady from Columbia who was a psychologist and said, you know, I'm not making as much as I could somewhere else, but I can see where I can retire at an earlier age, and I'm not going to move. If I had to wait till 90 and out, I'd be moving to get the more pay.
So to me, that kind of goes to that idea that the benefits help with the aspect the salary might not be at the level that you want it to be.
The whole crisis for the retirement fund being short on funds is because our predecessors in the legislature just didn't fund it. We made promises didn't put the money aside. It's easy to promise people everything, but you got to put the money aside. Now our state employees are putting in 4% and still have 90 and out. And the numbers I have seen, the 4%, but they're kicking in, if we match as we normally would, they could probably pay for 80 and out. They're paying for generations retiring at 80 and out. And they're only getting retired at 90 and out. And that's because legislature bodies prior to us did not fully fund their retirement plan. Typical, you know, let's promise somebody. Yeah, and it's not just the state alone. I mean, some big corporations do it too.
Sure.
And they made these big promises of great retirement, and when everybody got there was nobody to pay for it. Our fund is getting to be much more sound, and so before we can go 80 and out, we have to make sure it is fiscally sound, and we can no longer go back to where we were at, getting down to 60% or 55% funded.
Yeah. So what are some other winners of this session that you saw?
Well, looking back in time, we will see I-70 as a big winner.
Mm-hmm.
Assuming the governor signs that. I mean, we look back in our generation. I can remember when I-70 was being built. My grandfather came back from Kansas City, and when he talked about the loops, he just says, that can't work. They're not even stopping. They're merging. And then I saw several years ago, though, on I-70, when we had a bridge at Roachport going out, and we were going to shut down the highway half one way, and all these prices, because we couldn't afford to build it all at one time. We had to go to the federal government and get some federal money to build it, you know. And this is a perfect example of taking money and spending it wisely for long-term investments and not just creating short-term improvements that need to be refunded later.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting. On the whole I-70 debate, midway through the session, it looked like it might not, nothing might get through. It just had become so fractured as far as the conversation about it. And they actually went beyond what the governor had proposed.
Well, we had a senator with a very forward-looking looking approach.
Mm-hmm.
He will be on budget for several more years. And he knew he'd be taking some hit from people, but he didn't. You know, he made it a priority, and he's on budget and over at the Senate. He is, I guess, leading senator on their budget chairman. But that's the kind of forward-looking we need.
Yeah.
They also put money aside for some studies on I-44 and elsewhere around the state. But he put the money to good use instead of just spending on projects or leaving it set idle.
Yeah. Long-term benefits for that investment. So what are some of the things that kind of fell short?
Well, presidential primary, and I'm partially responsible. I didn't take the bill up earlier because I had my bill and the other rep's bills, but I drafted them all and then started my run. I thought she would have been carrying it, but again, they're just politics. There still was plenty of time to get it done, plenty of opportunity. It's just that everybody wanted their own things added, thinking it would pass and they could tack their own things on. That's also what happened. And county clerks could not agree where they want. One, they didn't want it at all because they had to work.
Mm-hmm.
And the problems it caused. They may be legitimate that, but I just know that we've had them before. And then a debate in April or in March.
Right.
And we went with the April date, and that caused a group of them to leave. And then we went back to March, and then another group wanted closed primaries. And then what ultimately killed it was after we had refiled it or re-put on a different bill, a Senate bill, there were some amendments got added, and people just needed an excuse not to. And in the Senate, it only takes one or two.
Yeah.
I would say the other big problem is initiative petitions didn't pass.
Mm-hmm.
We spent so much time. When I first got elected, I told Governor Parsons at a party one night, the biggest fear I had is initiative petitions because 50% of the people, first off, a constitution is designed to protect the minority from the majority. When you have 50% can change it, you've suddenly changed that rule a little bit in a heartbeat. And people were changing constitution on a regular basis for many minor things. And doing it by initiative petitions. It could have been done by statute. Now, part of it is the legislature should have moved on some things. They didn't.
Mm-hmm.
But the Constitution is supposed to be a sacred document. You have initiative referendum for that. The bill we had pending actually made it a little better for that. It took 57%, which is about what bond issues had to take to pass a constitutional amendment. And 57% for the first 3 years before we can modify initiative referendum. Be a statutory change. And that's where it needs to be done because unless there's some cleanup, we'd have to have 57% of the vote of the legislature. Every bill you pass, I mean, one of the big bills we got through this year also, I'm not big in overall scheme of things, but that I helped carry was how to calculate jail time credit for people in jail waiting sentencing or waiting trial. And that came directly from the judges themselves. That all came about because 2 years ago they had changed it and didn't take into account the collateral consequences. It was so severe, the judges all got together and said, we need this change back or we're going to have people sitting in jail, not accumulating time. They're going to be sitting in jail while we spend a long time trying to figure out where jail credit is from.
Mm.
It sounded good the way they had it first drafted, but in practicality, it didn't work.
Okay.
And those are the kind of bills. I mean, I'm glad to see those get passed. And that did get passed. But there's so many collateral consequences. I mean, right now, the recreational marijuana.
Mm-hmm.
There are so many collateral consequences going on that on expungement that nobody knows what's all it's going to take.
Sure.
But that was one of the other areas I helped carry getting into the background checks for medical marijuana for the workers because the Constitution provided it, federal law requires it. And that all takes doing a background check with saying, simple, you follow A, B, and C. That's not the way it works. You draft a bill, you pass a bill, that then goes to the legislature. After you pass it, that goes to the FBI. Then they tell you whether they approve or not approve it. They won't tell you how to fix it. They just give you some guidelines, and you do it again the next year.
Hmm.
It's not one of our most efficient acts.
No, it does not sound like it.
There were some other big issues. And we did do a lot for child care. We did get some tax cuts for seniors on Social Security. The personal property tax cut we gave for seniors, I think very few people will ever see because that takes the county commission to have to approve a property tax cut, and that's what our schools are based upon. You know, one of the senators who was filibustering because he didn't give enough property tax cut. Nobody wants to pay property taxes. I'd love to get property tax cuts. Everybody would. It'd be good for us politically. But that doesn't mean you do it. And he, with that promise, he couldn't get enough people who realize that the collateral consequence of that would be astronomical. You don't just cut property taxes without some other method in place that will fund our schools, will fund our local communities, all of our school boards, library boards, fire departments.
Yep.
You know, it's great to go out there and grandstand, I want a property tax cut and I'm going to stand here until I get it. But it tells you about the quality of your proposal when you can't get enough people to agree even for a property tax cut.
Yeah.
We have enough level-headed legislators who do look at the collateral consequences and do understand what our duty is. And it's not just to grandstand and get reelected or run for higher office.
Yeah. So that kind of goes to the whole climate of the legislature this last session. Clearly, I assume it was better than the previous session.
Well, it certainly started out a whole lot better than the previous session. I had high hopes. I thought we were really going to get it. And honestly, if Senate Bill 72 had passed, I would have had 12 or 13 of my language out of my bills passed one word somewhere, one place or the other. You know, and it was the last 2 days, 3 days, last 7 days when they decided to go on their little tantrum that everything fell apart.
Yeah.
But I mean, Senate Bill 72, for instance, I mean, that was consistent, a combination of some of my bills, it was a combination of another large bill we put together. It had brought from the Senate. There were deals made to load it up and protect another Senate bill I was carrying from loading up because we had to get CaseNet through. And finally, final days, we had everybody signed off on it. And that's when the senator said, I'm mad. I want a filibuster.
Yeah.
You didn't vote my way.
The last 2 weeks, things kind of ground to a stop it sometimes.
Yeah. I don't know if we're ever going to change some of those senators and their filibuster methods because I guess in their local district, that makes them the hero. I'm the Robin Hood or whatever. And
yeah.
But it certainly is disruptive for session as a whole. And it will be interesting to see what the governor does, whether he's going to veto anything or call special sessions. Initiative petitions, there's going to be a lot of them on the ballot again this year. And they're going to cover a lot of issues. I've seen several being drafted on abortion that already.
Yeah. Well, sports wagering.
Sports wagering. Well, not realistically. If we can't address it at the Capitol, which we should have. I'm not a big gambler, not for gambling, but sports wagering is done everywhere. Every state around us, our people are all doing it. If the people want it, and it's our duty to draft legislation that will make it feasible, regulated, and controlled.
Right.
Not pass legislation that, well, I'll vote for this if you'll give me that.
Exactly. That's what ended up derailing it.
That's why we have initiative petitions, because we don't do our job most of the time.
And that's a classic example there where the will of one or two senators derailed it, despite the overwhelming support for sports wagering.
Yeah, we've had that problem. These gray machines out here. I had a client who was dropping $250, $300 a morning in them. Fortunately, she was on a structured settlement, couldn't go through all of her money. But, you know, they're totally unregulated. If they want to pay you 10% on your investment, on your roll, they can pay 10%. You know, at least if we make them legal, we can control that they have to pay out a certain percentage and there are some taxes collected.
Right.
Taxes are always nice. That shouldn't be the driving force.
Right.
If it's wrong, it's wrong. Well, just making a tax doesn't make any good. But if you're going to have it, you at least ought to regulate it and add some fairness to it.
Now, after the session, the Senate was talking about the House and how things started slowly at the House.
It didn't get started slowly. What we did at the House was we heard a lot of bills, but we put them in bigger packages to send them over there in bigger packages so then they could put them on a bill.
Yeah.
And then they could put their bill on it. You know, unfortunately, these Christmas trees are the only way under the present system you're going to get hardly anything passed. My animal chiropractic bill went there right at spring break, and Senator Bernscutter was carrying the identical bill. Mine was already there. His language and mine were exactly the same. And that bill never went anywhere because he just wouldn't bring it up. The animal chiropractic bill passed because we put it on a different bill, and that bill then carried it. You know, and I don't know the answer. Right now, the Senate recognizes they had the power by doing everything this method. You end up taking their bills or you get nothing. And as long as we have term limits and nobody's going to be there long term, nobody's going to be willing to sacrifice 2 or 4 years of their work just to try to even out the system.
Yeah.
It may change when we get to a level of 50% Republicans, 50% Democrats. But even there, the Senate knows they have the power, and when with the power filibuster, and when people get power, they like to have more power.
Yeah.
Not all of our senators, but some of them.
Right, right. So looking back on the session, speaking personally, you mentioned the state pay and such as that, but what are some of the bills that carried that you are most pleased with?
Well, CaseNet, because that was a Supreme Court priority, mm-hmm. and they really needed to get it done.
So explain for folks why CaseNet was an issue.
CaseNet is the funding, partial of the funding for CaseNet, which is when you file a petition, all the information that you find when you go to the courthouse, look under CaseNet, is to find out where the cases are pending, all the information. And we also had some privacy legislation we passed dealing with that to protect children's date of birth, social security numbers, and things of that nature. But I think there's a billion and some claims go through there, hits go through there in a year's time. And we just needed to keep that going. Otherwise, we'd come up with some solution. But, you know, that's a program we are recognized nationwide for our access to our court system. Mm-hmm. And we need to stay on top of it.
Sure.
We did spend a lot of time this session. That was in some of my bills also on limiting what information can be disclosed. Because the more open it is, the more people tend to want to abuse it. And we're seeing that now. Because one of the bills I did pass was judicial privacy. It's one of my bills that the language got in. I'm not sure which version. I had two different versions of it even. And it got put on a lot of bills, and one of the senators carried the same thing. But mm-hmm. it meant so that people don't look on CaseNet and say who the judge is in a given case and then start putting out personal information about the judge, his family, his kids, or making threats on Facebook or Internet.
Yeah.
The animal chiropractic bill was just because you generally don't get two organizations who sit down who are on expansion of scope of practice to sit down and meet and agree to a compromise. And basically, I had the general counsel from both the chiropractic groups and the veterinarians group in my office at one time. We hit on some language that nobody was totally happy with, but they all agreed that was the best way to go. And that's what finally did pass. And,
yeah.
and that's what, you know, that's what legislation's made of.
That's what it should be made of, right?
The one bill that didn't go through that I really thought we'd go through, because we had it all the way through last year and again died on the last day, was mediation requirements. Mediation is taking over a lot of our civil litigation. Litigation has gotten so expensive.
Mm-hmm.
And mediation is a system where you all get together with an independent mediator and try to mediate things out. Eliminates the risk of a courtroom, eliminates a lot of courtroom time, saves a lot of legal fees and costs, and you get a, you know what the result is when you walk out. It has gotten so big, but courts are not caught up with it's what the rules should be, what the privacy protection should be, what is privileged, not privileged communications. And so this was an elaborate bill drafted by a bunch of mediators, lawyers, sponsored by Missouri Bar. No, the Bar Association, not Missouri Bar. And it, again, went everywhere. There, it was on 72. It was on another bill. Both of them died the last day. Last year, died last day. And those are just things we need to keep encouraging. Mediation, getting lawsuits settled and resolved. The longer the lawsuit is open, the more it costs everybody. And, you know, sometimes you want to go to a jury, but realistically, people don't like to sit through a jury trial. That is an undue amount of stress. And when they come together and mediate something, they know what the end result is.
Mm-hmm.
And there are a lot of things you can do in mediation you cannot do with a jury verdict for structured settlements and that thing. So that was one I was really glad to get through also, was the one on so inmates get credit for time served in jail, pre-trial and trial. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, it'd be totally unfair for the guy who can't afford a bond, sits there and gets a year sentence. He's been in jail right a year. And the other guy who's out on bond gets the same sentence. It was a disaster for our jails and the judges. Nobody took into account what our judges all have to do.
Yeah.
There was a bill that of mine that passed, which I filed it before. I filed it this year. Well, I thought it had no chance of passing because it had some opposition. And we just put it on another bill by chance. And it is in Cole County when we get capital murder cases sent here. And there's $100,000 worth of fees in question jurors and juror fees and all that stuff. We send that bill to the county, the case originating county. And a lot of these little counties don't have $100,000 or whatever it is laying to pay us back.
Sure.
We're kind of left holding the bag, and this sets up a fund that will take care of that. Another goal I had this summer is we're going to go back, and not just my bills, we're going to take Senate Bill 72, along with the senator, talk to him. I already talked to his chief of staff. I'm going to file the whole bill, which will have 20 or 30 different other bills already in it. It's already been vetted. Both sides have agreed to it. Why should it take any amount of deliberation? And we, you know, and those are types of bills that have a lot of, I call, running the state.
For those who aren't familiar with 72.
72 is a Senate bill which came from the Senate. We had over to the House. I actually rolled 72, the basis of 72, into 103 because I was carrying both bills for senators along with chairman. We then rolled those together, and then I kept Senate Bill 72, which were a whole bunch of House bills and some Senate bills, all dealing with individual problems in individual districts or individual issues relating to the state that needed corrections.
Hmm.
I mean, there was my LLC. So how do you dissolve an LLC? you know, now get deadlocked on LLC, limited liability corporation. You got to go to the judge. He's got to make a finding, all kinds of findings. If it's a subchapter S and the bills I propose would be, you go in the judge and you say you're deadlocked. You don't have a long hearing, nothing. He just simply tells you, well, you resolve it or I'm going to dissolve it. And that got people to agree in a hurry.
Yeah.
Making our judicial branch more efficient. That's one of my top priorities. You want people to respect your branch of government. You got to be efficient and open.
Yep. Well, I think that's an interesting aspect there. So you're right. I mean, the work's been done this session on that bill, and it would be foolish to let it just fall by the wayside. And so you're obviously looking towards the next session. So what things do you see going forward? I mean, this will be your fourth?
Six years
as a legislator. So you certainly have a different perspective than your first couple of years here.
Well, yeah, I had high hopes that a lot of my little bills would all be passed this year, so next year. But there are people with different state agencies already contacting me on some things they need clean up. I won't be any brilliant ideas I come with. I'm not sitting around this summer saying, what great gun bill can I introduce? Or drug bill or crime. I won't be doing that. If I have anything, I want to work more on getting clarified on sentencing. There's some truth in sentencing laws. I mean, in the Corrections and Facilities Committee, which I was chairman of, we put a lot of common sense bills, and then part of them got through, a lot of them didn't. I mean, just bills that indicate like good time credit with the Department of Corrections warrant. If a guy's going to follow steps A, B, and C, it rolls his release date for when he can apply for parole earlier. You know, it doesn't mean they're going to get it, but they can roll it earlier.
Incentivizes them.
There were people there had told horrible stories about the jail costs in some of these little counties. If they wanted to call home or anything while they're in jail, it was an astronomical amount of money. They don't have the money. Especially in jail, you want them to be trying to be in contact with their employer and their family because they're not there long term. They can get out and get back to work. We don't want them going to jail and then being out there on unemployment and that jail time credit. There was another bill that had to do with some additional training for inmates. I went down to Algoa this year, and they have a plan of 200 and some kids enrolled in it now. And these kids, convicts. But they also have learned how to do programming without the internet. And out of the 50-some that were released, I think 90-some percent were fully employed now in salaries between $40,000 and $70,000.
Wow.
We need programmers, and they're learning it. And that program needs to be expanded, and we need to work on that more and more. I mean, there are some people, I don't think there's an answer for, but locking them up.
Yeah.
That other bunch, we need to have jails. They serve their purpose. But while we're there, we ought to try to at least get them back out when they come out. I mean, for instance, a simple bill that says when you leave jail, and that was one of them, or prison rather, they give you a birth certificate, photo ID, and a few of your basics, social security number, so that you go out, you can get a job or something. If you don't have any of those things, you're lost, you can't get a job. If you can't get a job, you're probably going to fall back in jail habits because whether we like it or not, probably 80% of our inmates have a history of excessive indulgence in alcohol, liquor, and drugs.
Yeah.
And they get depressed and give up, they're right back in the old rut. Where if you get them out on a positive track, you got a better shot at keeping them out of jail.
Changing a life there.
That was a bill that we had, and I know it didn't pass out, but it came through there. But there were a lot of those bills. And interesting on, because in the corrections, the bills were, a lot of them with corrections wanted, and there were some that Democrats, on my committee, when I looked at a bill, I didn't look whether it was a Republican bill or Democratic bill. I looked at what the bill was. And that's from there is where we went.
Yeah.
That isn't always the case up there.
No, that is not. All right. Well, a lot of topics still out there. We're going to wrap it up for today. And Rudy, we appreciate you stopping by to talk about this session. And
it's great to get the chance to vent.
All right. Well, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for listening. You can find News Tribune on tap at newstribune.com, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and Google Play.